This is the adult Sunday school lesson for March the 22nd. And so let's pray before we start. Father, thank you for this time and your word. Again, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. You would teach us about faith and how we need to live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. And so I pray you'll bless your word, bless the time we spend in it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. This is the fourth lesson in the six-week series, Holy Vocabulary, Unpacking the Language of Faith. And as I've mentioned the past couple times we've been in this series, communication is dependent on the words that we use and how we use them. If a word means one thing to me and it means something else to you, then our communication is going to be hard. It's going to break down. And in our spiritual conversations, when we talk about spiritual things, there are certain words that appear over and over again. And it's important that we use those words in the right way. And so what this series does, it looks at six of those common words, words that are used a lot in our spiritual conversations, and it studies them, what they mean and how they're used in the Bible. And so that's the basis for our study. And when these words are clear, it makes it easier for us to talk about the things of God and know what we're talking about. So we started with the word holy. The word holy means something that has been set apart. God is holy. There's nobody else like God. He is unique. Then we studied the word lost, being separated from God. Without Christ, we are lost. We are separated from God because of our sin. Then we looked at the word salvation, being saved from the penalty of our sin, having our relationship with God restored. And again, just because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, we can be saved from the penalty of our sin. In this session, we're going to look at the word faith. And the point of the lesson is that we can confidently trust what God says and does. Most often we associate faith with religion, but faith is very much present in our daily, everyday life. When we go to a restaurant or when we go through a drive-through and order food, we have faith that the food is going to be properly prepared and will do us no harm when we eat it. When we drive, we have faith that other drivers are going to stop at the red light and not crash into us. We trust something that we've been told because we have faith in the person that that said it. And unfortunately, there's been times, and we've all experienced, when our faith was misplaced. Somebody or something we trusted let us down. It disappointed us. It didn't meet our expectations. But there is one who will never let us down. There is one that we can always depend on, and we can put our faith in him, in God, because he always tells us the truth, and he always does what he says he will do. And so this session, we're in the book of Hebrews. We don't know the author of Hebrews. It's sort of like an epistle, although it's missing certain things that that letters in that time period always included. But the theme of the book of Hebrews is the exaltation of Christ. And it talks about the superiority of the new covenant that we have through Jesus as opposed to the old covenant that we had through the law. So we're in Hebrews chapter 11, probably the most well-known chapter in the book. And since faith is required for us to live the kind of life that God wants us to live, understanding what faith is and how it works is important. So there's three parts of the lesson. Number one, faith leads us to believe and rely on God. Number two, faith responds with worship of God. And then number three, faith responds with obedience that pleases God. Now, I usually stand up when I read the scripture, but because of the different setting that we're in, I'm just going to read it sitting down. So forgive me for that. But we start in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So in verse 1, now, it's a connecting word. It connects with what has come before, with what is going to come after. And in the day when the book of Hebrews was written, especially at the end of chapter 10, there were some Christians, because of the persecutions they were going through, that were ready to walk away from their faith, ready to walk away from their Christianity. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, don't walk away. Keep standing firm. Keep trusting in Christ. True believers don't walk away in hard times. True believers continue in their faith and trust God even in the midst of hard times. Then the author in chapter 11 defines faith. That word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, used many times in the New Testament, and it means conviction of the truth of anything that makes it worthy of one trust. So we're convicted of the truth about something, so much so that we trust it, that we rely on it. And so by that definition, faith can vary from believer to believer. Person can have one degree of faith, another person can have another degree of faith. Can be weak, but it can also grow and be strengthened as it's tested. And we see that in many of the Old Testament saints, where their faith in God was tested and their faith grew as they came through those tests. Faith requires an object, and people put faith in different things. They put faith in themselves. They put faith in their plans. They put faith in their relationships. They put faith in their resources. Some people put faith in money. They put faith in other people. And even their personal beliefs. They put faith in what they believe to be true. Now, again, those objects of faith in the past have sometimes let people down. And again, we've all experienced a time in our life where we put faith in something and we were disappointed because somebody didn't keep their word or it didn't work out the way we expected it to work out. But the object of biblical faith is none of those things. The object of biblical faith is God, and he never fails. The writer of Hebrews uses two words there in verse 1 to explain faith, substance and evidence. Substance and evidence. Let's talk about those two words. Substance comes from a compound Greek word, hypostasis. Hypo meaning under, stasis meaning standing. So as it was used in the time of the book of Hebrews, the word referred to anything that stood under something else, like the foundation of a building, or a contract that supported a business transaction, or a promise that undergirded a personal commitment. So substance, something that stands under something else. It's used in verse 1 in relation to things that are hoped for. Now, our usual use of the word hope is something that we wish for, but we don't have any assurance that what we wish for is going to come to pass. Bible hope is something different. It doesn't refer to wishful thinking. Hope in the Bible comes from the word elpizo, the Greek word elpizo, and it means expect. It means waiting with full joy and full confidence that what we're hoping for is going to happen. I often say it's not hope so hope, it's no so hope. We know that what we're hoping for is going to happen. So the first word is substance, that which stands under something else. And in this case, it stands under what we're hoping for. The second word is evidence. It comes from the Greek word elikos. It means a proof, that by which a thing is proved or tested. a conviction. And again, evidence in verse 1 is used in relation to things not seen. We're physical beings. We live in a physical world. And we define reality in terms of our senses, what we can see, what we can hear, what we can taste, what we can smell, what we can touch. But reality is greater than what we can perceive with our senses. And again, science has proven that. Matter, we know, for example, matter is made up of particles that we can't see. And that same thing is true when it comes to our spiritual lives. Spiritual truth cannot be proved by physical evidence. But by faith, it provides the full assurance and conviction. So faith is the underpinning of what has been promised and the proof of the reality of what is invisible. Faith is a response to the divine revelation. By faith, we can take God at his word even when we can't see the outcome. Okay? And again, faith becomes operative when we look beyond what is to what can be or what will be. We get in the middle of hardship. We get in the middle of sorrow. And instead of looking at the difficulty, we need to look at the God. We need to look at God. And how is God going to use that sorrow? How is God going to use that difficulty to accomplish his purpose in us, his purpose in the world? And so faith is practical. It's also beneficial. Bible says there in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it, through faith, and that's what the word it is, so through the medium of faith, the elders, those persons that came before us, those that are older in years, and again, Hebrews chapter 11, we're only going to talk about two of them in this session, but Hebrews chapter 11, I think, mentions 17 different elders, those that came before us, that use their faith to obtain a good report. That phrase, obtained a good report, in the Greek is one word, martyrio. It means to speak well of, to vouch for. It means God's favor. And so through faith, the elders obtained or were approved by God. He spoke highly of them. He was pleased by them. And they didn't gain God's favor. They didn't get this good report by anything they did. They got this good report because they believed, they had faith in God. Now, in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer notes one core belief that all believers have in common. God is creator. There was no one present in the beginning except for God. So there was no one there to give us an eyewitness account or give us a personal testimony of what took place at creation. Science offers certain theories, but science can't explain the who and the why of creation. Now, if you studied your lesson last week, you saw in the book that you have, the who of creation is God. And the why of creation is because he wanted to create a place so that he could have a relationship with us. Science can't explain that. But the Bible goes on there in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now that word understand means to perceive with our mind. That word worlds means everything that was created and all ages. So it's time and space, so to speak. And that word framed means to complete or put in order. And so by our faith, again, nobody was present at creation. Nobody can give us an eyewitness account. But by faith, we believe what God tells us in the Bible, that he brought the world into existence by his word. He spake everything into existence. And again, the only thing that God made with his hands was when he formed man on day 6, when he took the dirt of the ground, the dust of the ground, and formed Adam. everything else the Bible says, and God, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and it was so. God said, let there be light. It was light. God said, let there be a firmament. There was a firmament. And again, how did he do it? How did he frame the world and the ages? He did it through his word. He spake, and all time and space came into existence, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God made all things. He put them in their proper order to create that which is visible to us. And how do we know that? By faith in what God revealed. We know that by his word. All right, let's go on to the second part of the lesson. Faith responds with worship of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So Abel is the writer of Hebrews' first example of one who lived by faith. And Abel illustrates the truth that faith in God leads to and is expressed by worship of him. Of course, we know Abel was the second born of Adam and Eve. He had an older brother named Cain. And the Bible tells us in that verse 4 that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel was a herdsman, and so he brought a firstborn from his flock. Cain was a farmer, so he brought produce. That word excellent, more excellent sacrifice, means greater in quality or superior. Now, neither the book of Genesis nor the book of Hebrews tells us what made Abel's offering more excellent or more acceptable than Cain's. And Bible scholars have different views. One of the views that's held widely is that Abel was a blood offering and Cain's wasn't. But again, the Bible doesn't tell us why God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. And so we shouldn't presume to know why. God does all things right. He's holy. He's righteous. And what he did when it came to the offerings of Cain and Abel are holy and righteous. And so even though we don't know the reason, we know for sure that it was keeping with God's righteous character. In the book of Genesis, however, we can see that oftentimes God was more concerned with the attitude of the worshiper more than he was the type of offering that they brought. But that verse goes on and says, by which he, Abel, obtained witness. Now, that's the same Greek word that we saw in verse 2, obtained a good report, that he, Abel, was righteous. That word righteous means just, upright, innocent, acceptable to God. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man. God also was testifying, again, same word, obtained a good report, of his gift. So God commended Abel, and he commended Abel's faith by accepting the gift that Abel brought. Abel had faith in God, and he proved that faith by bringing the proper sacrifice. And again, his righteousness did not result from Abel's ability to give a better offering. His righteousness resulted from his faith. And by it, his faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. His witness and what he testified of, that faith in God leads one to worship God, is still with us today. Abel's dead, been dead a long time. But what he teaches us still speaks to us today. All right, let's go to the third part of the lesson. Faith responds with obedience that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch's story is in Genesis chapter 5. He's only mentioned there, Hebrews chapter 11, and then in Jude verse 14, where he is a prophet of judgment in his world. He was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years. Okay? The writer of Hebrews uses Enoch as an example or an illustration of the blessings that come to a person when by faith they walk with God. That word translated means to transfer or to go, to pass over. Enoch got to go over or be transferred to be with God without experiencing death. Some describe it this way. Enoch walked with God. One day he walked so far that God said, Enoch, you're nearer to my house than you are to your house. Why don't you just come home with me? Some looked for him. And that in those verses says, but he was not found because God had translated him. Why? Why did God do that? Before his translation, he had this testimony. And again, that's the same word, obtained a good report. He had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. And that word please means gratify entirely. Gratify wholly. He lived in a right relationship with God, and his life brought pleasure to God. You remember, God said about his son, Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, Enoch, back in his day, lived his life in such a way that God was pleased with him. And again, living that kind of life is not unique to Enoch, but his life illustrates the truth. Just like Abel's life illustrated the truth that when we have faith in God, it leads to our worship of God. Enoch's life represents that when we have faith, we can please God. And actually, the verse goes on and says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can't please God. We can't live our life in a way that brings pleasure to him without faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That word cometh means to draw near. So we cannot draw near to God if we don't believe that he exists. I mean, that doesn't make sense. If you don't believe God exists, you can't draw near to him. But those that diligently seek him, in other words, seek after him carefully, will be rewarded. He is the rewarder of those that seek after him diligently. God is the rewarder of those. That word rewarder means one who pays wages. And what the reward is for those that seek after God diligently is getting to be in his presence. Getting to be in the presence of God. So our faith, our believing that he is, that God is, motivates us to obey him, to live the kind of life that pleases him, that will one day be rewarded by being in his presence, in his presence. So faith is a confident trust in what God says and does. And we prove that we have it by the way that we live. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we've been able to spend this time in study. And I pray that you would help us be a people of faith, that our faith would grow, that we would live our life each and every day, each and every moment, in ways that are pleasing to you. Help us to understand we can only do that by faith. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.